Luke and chapter 12. Luke 12, we will read verse 54 down to the end of the chapter. Luke 12, 54 to the end of the chapter. The Bible says there, "He also said to the crowds, 'When you see a cloud rising in the west, you say at once, a shower is coming. And so it happens. And when you see the south wind blowing, you say there will be scorching heat. And it happens. You hypocrites, you know how to interpret the appearance of earth and sky, but why do you not know how to interpret the present time? And why do you not judge for yourselves what is right? As you go with your accuser before the magistrate, make an effort to settle with him on the way, lest he drag you to the judge, and the judge hand you over to the officer, and the officer put you in prison. I tell you, you will never get out until you have paid the very last penny." Until you have paid the very last penny. Under normal circumstances, a Sunday such as this would have meant that I would have preached a message meant to inspire us and prepare us for the evangelistic activities that we indeed are planning across this week, so that we may have biblical reasons why we should be all the more prayerful and why we should participate as much as is possible in the activities that lie ahead of us. However, as I was studying this text on hypocrisy, the more I studied it, the more I felt that there was something in it by way of final application that would be relevant to the season in which we are entering. And consequently, I felt that let me then get back to our series on the subject of hypocrisy, the lethal poison of hypocrisy, and preach from it. Those of you who've been coming here on Sunday mornings fairly regularly will recognize that in this series of messages, we are now in that section where I am dealing with the phrase, "You are a hypocrite if," and then I finish off. So for instance, the last message that I preached was, "You are a hypocrite if you are only concerned about external righteousness." And we saw that from the words of our Lord Jesus Christ when he was castigating and rebuking the Pharisees and the teachers of the law for what he termed washing the outside of the plate and cup when the inside remained dirty. And that was a very apt description of individuals who are merely concerned about their outward reputation. And so they are in activities that are meant to give an impression that they are living a godly and holy life, when they know very well that on the inside, and also behind closed doors, and also at night when it is less visible and people cannot see what they are doing, they are then doing that which is the opposite, living in sin. And Jesus was making the point that if that's your lifestyle, one thing, when people can see you, at least godly people can see you, something else in the dark, in the heart, behind closed doors, you are a hypocrite, and the sooner you repent of that, the better. The sooner you give yourself to Christ in prayer, pleading with him that he might really change you from the inside out, the better it will be for you. Well, today we move on to yet another phrase. And the phrase this time is, you are a hypocrite if you are not spiritually discerning. You are a hypocrite if you are not spiritually discerning. In other words, we are all discerning in one way or the other. The question is, are we spiritually discerning? And if that is amiss, then just know that you are a downright hypocrite. And because this is a very common form of hypocrisy, in the passage that we have just read, the Lord Jesus Christ goes from addressing his own disciples to start addressing the entire crowd that had gathered around him. So when you read earlier in Luke chapter 12, you notice that the teachings that were there prior to what we have just read were directed towards the disciples. An obvious example is verse 22, where we read, "And he said to his disciples." We also read in verse 32, "Fear not, little flock." So it's clear that prior to that, he was speaking to his disciples. But as we enter into verse 54, we notice the Bible says, he also said to the crowds. In other words, this message now is to everybody, the disciples inclusive, but everyone that is gathered around me. The attitude, the tendency that Jesus is describing here is one that is very common. And consequently, all of us in this auditorium need to ask ourselves the question, am I guilty of this kind of hypocrisy? And if you find yourself to be guilty, as I will bring it out at the very end, it is vital for you to go before Christ and confess the reality that is there in your life so that he may save you. As we've been learning here, that's the reason why he came. That's the reason why he died. Well, here we are then. We'll only look at verse 54 to verse 56 because that's where the issue of hypocrisy comes out. Look at your, I'm calling it, impeccable capacity to discern what is going to happen in other areas of your life other than the spiritual area. And it is true that all of us do have that capacity. We do. I mean, look at what Jesus deals with here in verse 54 and verse 56. And you will notice that it is true about us as well. He said to this crowd, "When you see a cloud rising in the west, you say at once, 'A shower is coming,' and so it happens. And when you see the south wind blowing, you say, 'There will be scorching heat,' and it happens." Jesus was speaking in the context of Israel. And if you still remember your geography lessons, you will know that on the west side of Israel was, or still is, the Mediterranean Sea. And so clearly, the winds that are coming from there, the clouds that are coming from there, are likely to be clouds that are pregnant with rain. So anybody seeing the clouds coming from that direction will say it's going to rain. And sure enough, Jesus says, it rains. Tick, you are correct. On the other hand, south of Israel was a major desert land. And as you know, the desert areas tend to be extremely hot. Again, they make the prediction. If the wind is blowing from the south, it's going to be very, very hot. And Jesus says, again, you are right. Another thing. You are able to read the weather and what is going to happen because of the current weather. But clearly, this was not merely cerebral activity. This is not mere guesswork that individuals are going through so that they can tick the right boxes. This is what would then determine their behavior after that. In other words, if we realize it's going to rain, what do? We go out with our umbrellas, that's one thing. If we are farmers, have a little garden somewhere, we begin planting, sowing, because we know the rains are coming. You actually do something in the light of your prediction. And sure enough, it happens, you reap the benefit of it. Or when you realize that it's going to be terribly hot, assuming you were about to undertake a trip, you cancel the trip. You stay indoors. You make sure that your kids are protected by them being indoors, and so on, until that period of heat is over. You do something about it, and that way you avert disaster happening to you. So Jesus deliberately here gives both a positive situation and a negative situation. The rains are coming. That's good news. You do something about it. The heat is coming. That's bad news. You do something about it. And indeed, you are proved to be right. It's simple logic. Or, as we say, it's simple extrapolation. In other words, you've drawn your line between two dots. You continue the line. You know that invariably that's what is going to happen on this end. You do something about it. Now, it's true with us as well. Often, you look into the sky in the morning. You look at the kind of clouds that are gathering. And immediately, you begin to say, this is the way I should dress for the rest of the day. You're able to make up your mind whether some of the plans you had for that day, for instance, going out on a picnic or something like that, whether that should still take place just by looking into the sky. And sure enough, the changes you make about your life are correct. And you are glad that you interpreted the signs of the times. We do exactly the same with respect to, for instance, the whole area of education. Parents pour a lot of money into their children's education because they know that if I don't educate my child, in years to come, this same child will be a beggar in the streets and it will be heartache for me. And therefore, I deliberately do something now. I take advantage of the situation I am in now for the sake of the future. We do the same with respect to finances, don't we? We put our monies where we know that we will get the best returns in due season. We do the same with respect to physical health. We know that while I am young, this is the time for me to do so much physical activity because in due season, I will not have the strength. All of us are discerning in that sense. We also deliberately exercise, and put ourselves through a lot of regimes for physical health, knowing that although I am doing this now, I will reap the benefits in future. So all of us here, in one way or the other, will realize that we actually exercise discernment. Your friends at school may say to you, let's go and play, let's go and play. My friend, you are missing out, and so on. You remain with your books. You are reading. They are laughing at you. Why are you still in those books? It's because you know that in future, I will laugh last. You know, you exercise discernment in so many other areas. And we are here to testify that because of this same discernment that we've exercised, we are better off today. We have averted disaster. We can see others who did not exercise discernment in these areas, and we feel sorry for them. We feel sorry. It's good we exercised discernment. Now, what the Lord Jesus Christ is teaching us here is a further principle, and it is this: that a hypocrite refuses to take time to transfer this same discernment from the physical to the spiritual. Very intelligent in all other areas. Very successful because of the ability to read the times. But when it comes to the spiritual, an absolute failure. This is the way he puts it. And it's clearly a rebuke. You hypocrites, verse 56. You know how to interpret the appearance of earth and sky. Can you imagine? You know how to do that. But why do you not know how to interpret the present time? How are you failing to recognize what is going on spiritually right now among you? As a nation, Israel had been under Assyrian captivity, Babylonian captivity, Persian captivity, Greek and Roman captivity. But in the more recent times, they had now experienced the extraordinary ministry of both John the Baptist and the Lord Jesus Christ himself. I want to repeat, an extraordinary ministry. So that if there had been individuals whose spiritual acumen was alive, they would have been saying, something is happening among us now, and just as with respect to the weather, we do something so that we benefit from what is about to happen. Nay, they were continuing to go on in life half asleep. Half asleep. Dead spiritually. And that's the hypocritical aspect that Jesus is bringing out here. This failure to discern spiritually. Absolute failure. And Jesus is blaming them here. He's saying, look, if it wasn't true of you in the physical, if you can see that cloud coming from the west, you don't plow, you don't sow your seed, in fact, you even go out without your umbrella, assuming the umbrellas in those days, and you get drenched in the rains, I would understand. I would. If you still undertake your journey, despite the wind blowing from the south, and in the process, you die of heat stroke, yes, I would understand that you should end up in hell for your sins. Because clearly, you have been failing to discern in the spiritual, rather in the physical realm. But Jesus is saying, you are hypocrites. Absolute hypocrites. Because with physical, temporal things, you are able to discern, you are able to take action. But when it comes to the spiritual, the signs of the times, where you're living right now, what God is doing, clearly doing in the spiritual realm, there is absolutely no appropriate response from you. Hypocrites, he says. So the principle there is quite clear, that you are a hypocrite if you do not discern spiritual realities happening around you and quickly go into appropriate action. You are a spiritual hypocrite. Let me apply this to today. Let me apply it so that you can see whether you are a hypocrite today. It's very easy for us to look at the Israelites and say, yeah, I mean, come on. Jesus is hanging around you, turning stones into multiplying fish and walking on water and raising the dead and so on and so forth, teaching you in ways you've never ever heard before, in amazing ways. If I were there, I would have immediately sought him, desperately sought him for my salvation. What about today? What is it that is clearly happening in Providence? What is it? Let me begin from the bigger picture and then begin slowly coming down to the smallest picture. Let's begin with the macro picture, the global picture. At least there are three things. First of all, it's a militant atheism. A militant atheism that has spread across the globe and is continuing to do so, despite the evidence screaming back at them that clearly shows there must be an intelligent creator of all things. There is a militancy in the atheism that is even deliberately changing and tailor-making educational curriculums. It's there. There is also radical Islam. If you didn't know about that, welcome to planet Earth. It's happening in the news every time you turn it on. Some suicide bomber has exploded himself somewhere in the name of Allah. And it's getting closer home. The number of mosques that have gone up in Lusaka alone in the last 5 years compared to the previous 50 years of Zambia's history, you cannot help but realize Islam is here. And very soon it will change its modus operandi. What else? There is what they call the LGBT movement. Lesbians, gays, bisexual, transgender, chakuti chakuti. It's here. Pushing and insisting that it is simply an alternative lifestyle. And when you ask the question, how does a man and another man have sex together, they get angry with you. They do. But it's here. There is an insistence If you want financial help from the West, you better sign on the dotted line that this is something you will defend, you will stand for, you will promote. And all I'm asking is, you can see this spiritually. What are you doing about it? Now I'll tell you, many in this room are behaving as if that's not happening. That's not happening. Many. Life is just continuing. As if there isn't a thick darkness that is encroaching upon humanity on the globe. Let's enter into Christianity. What's going on there? There's been a multiplication of the extreme charismatic movement. You again have to have been on planet Mars for the last 1 year to express shock about it. That congregants are being made now to eat grass, to drink petrol, to stand in front of the spray of doom. And with it is the prosperity gospel, which is no gospel at all. It's become the main message in Christian circles. We're not talking about Islam or Buddhism or African traditional religions, we're talking about inside evangelicalism. That's the main message. I've given this illustration before, but there was one day I came from visitation in the evening and turned on my radio, and it was one radio station after the other. Since the radio in the car is automatic, you sort of just press the button, it searches the next station. And all of them, I mean all of them, that had religious programming, it was this junk that was coming out of it. This junk. In other words, extrapolate. What kind of Christianity will be in Zambia in the next 5 to 10 years? You don't need to be a genius to see it. It's already happening. But the question is, what are you doing about it? Not what is that person doing. You, what are you doing about it? How have you responded to that? Technology. We all know that we're now in not just the computer age, but the internet age. Almost everything now happens on the internet. Almost everything. And the businessman knows that, and they're already taking advantage of it in order to multiply sales. The evil world also knows it, and they are splashing every form of immorality in it. What about you? Spiritually, what about you? Any response? Anything that you are saying, here is an instrument that God has brought into this age. It's God's providence. Therefore, this is what I will do, this is what we will do in order to maximize on what God has done in our age through this discovery, through this technology. Or are you just droning along? At least on the spiritual front. But on the world side, of course you are. Except it's nothing but wasting time. Wasting time. Let me move into Lusaka. I'm giving examples here. It could be multiplied. What's happening in Lusaka in terms of providence? What has happened? What's going on? Let me mention at least two things. The first is the multiplication of private universities. They've multiplied. And as a result of that, the youths of Zambia are rushing into Lusaka. Rushing into Lusaka. In droves. Friday afternoon, I spent it with a young man who came into Lusaka primarily for education purposes. He works as a security guard at night and during the days in medical school. From another part of the country. And he's an example of the many, many, many young people that have come in. What has that meant to you? Anything? And Lusaka is growing. New residential areas are popping up everywhere. What were once big farms are being turned into residential areas. You know that. Again, I ask, does that mean anything to you spiritually? Apart from the fact that you must quickly get a plot of land and build a house there? Yeah, on the physical side, Jesus is saying, well done, well done. But his concern is the absolute failure spiritually. Absolute failure. That there isn't even the thought. This is just an example. That look, let's plant a church there. It's a new area. There'll soon be houses. Let's put a church there. Come on, let's put in the money. There's nothing like that. Just droning on. At church level, what's God doing here? What is it that has happened in the recent past? Spiritually, what is it? And that's Jesus' concern. If you're looking at me blank saying, has anything happened? Then that's the problem. Brethren, there is a reformed resurgence that has happened right here. The attention of the globe is on Zambia, with Lusaka as the epicenter. And it's not a human doing. Again, it's God. When you think about the African Christian University, don't think it's a small little thing that's sort of happening in a corner and the world doesn't know anything about it and you can afford to look the other way. Don't think so. Yes, it's a small beginning, but it's something God is doing, and before our own eyes, one day it will be an institution that everybody will be amazed about. I mean, just this week, again, meeting with somebody from England, he's planning to come in and buy land somewhere in Zambia, to bring his family here, and the very thing he was talking to me about is putting his kids in the African Christian University. From England, not Lusaka, not Zambia, not Africa. The brethren, they've come in to work with us, could have done something else out there easily. But God moved their hearts because something is happening here. Something he is doing. Something big time. The conference we ran in August is the biggest reformed conference on the entire continent of Africa. The entire continent. That doesn't just happen by accident. People don't just start traveling from South Africa, Namibia, Botswana, Malawi, Tanzania, Kenya, Uganda, and so on, all coming to attend a conference if nothing is happening there. Something must be happening. And even when you just speak about the internship program we run here, it says the same thing. Why should interns be coming from all over Africa? Why? What is it that we have here? Why? Even as far as South Sudan, Sierra Leone, we've had guys from Germany, from Canada, coming for this same internship. Why? And in a small way, I can add, you have the only Christian magazine in the whole of Zambia. The only. The only Christian magazine in the whole country. You run it from your back. From your back here. Again, all I'm asking is this. Have your eyes seen this? Are you conscious that God is doing something here? Are you conscious of it? And if so, what are you doing about it? Like seeing that cloud and quickly rushing in for your umbrella. What are you doing about this reality that God Himself is doing? What are you doing? Sadly, there are many of you who, even when people have traveled all over the world to come for the conference here, you yourself don't even bother to apply for leave, you don't even bother to be there. And it's happening right under your nose. I was being told in January, approximately 15 people are coming from Dubai for the conference this August. About 15. Tickets paid for already. They're telling me in January they're coming in August. It's possible, brethren, to be in exactly the situation that these people were in when it is a period of visitation from heaven, the Savior Himself has come, and they are droning on along, half asleep, and Jesus is challenging them. How can it be that with respect to the weather, you are sensitive enough, you see, you act on it quickly, when it comes to spiritual things, dead as a doornail? And I'm saying, let's not point fingers at the first century guys. We may be in exactly the same position now. Exactly the same position. Let me land on a personal level. How does this same hypocrisy show itself? The failure to extrapolate and to then do something. How? In the moral and spiritual realm. Here it is. Young people, listen to me. You sit there watching blue movies where you are seeing sexual pictures and extreme violence. Violence of its worst kind. And somehow you fail to see
that this is going to have ramifications on me. Extrapolate. I can't be watching naked people having sex on a screen and be pure tomorrow. It's not possible. I'm defiling myself. The result of it is going to be immorality in my life. Therefore, switch it off. Now that's the same thing. That's the same thing. Switch it off. Or growing a friendship with an unchristian of the opposite sex. We are just friends. We are just friends. Hey! Put on your thinking cap. Where is it going? Isn't it obvious? And then when now your heart has gone, no, but I love him. Of course, that's where it was going. Again, the ability to think, to discern. It may look innocent now, it may be a small cloud, but it is a matter of time. It's going to rain. Let me do something about it now. Let me add. The amount of body contact taking place among young people, male, female. You do that and then you are surprised you are in bed together. You are surprised. After all the hugging and necking and kissing and so, you are surprised that it has landed there. Of course not. Again, it's the failure to discern at a personal level that this leads there and it leads there and finally there. And therefore, I shouldn't begin here. Here's the point. You are a hypocrite. If all these realities have not moved you into action and spiritual good, you are a hypocrite. There's no real relationship between your soul and God. Dead, dead, dead spiritually. And therefore, even if the Lord Jesus Christ was to come, you would be one of those fighting against him. Jesus asks the question. You know how to interpret the appearance of earth and sky, but why do you not know how to interpret the present? How can you have that negative, growing darkness and you're not doing anything about it? How can you live in days of opportunity when young adults are flooding your city and you still continue half dead? How can you live in a day when God has visited Christianity in an area where you are with strong biblicalism, strong doctrine, godliness, and still remain indifferent? How, unless you are spiritually dead? That's the point Jesus is making. I repeat, this is a very common form of hypocrisy, and it is seen in the failure to act discerningly, to act accordingly. We do it in the physical realm. We do.
People who monitor the stock exchange, they will tell you that as soon as they know that that stock, those shares, are about to rise, they sell whatever they have, put monies together, and buy in those shares. They act now. They know that the graph is going upwards, and they do something about it. Now, if you can do that with respect to finances, what's stopping you from acting in the spiritual? I said to you that I was going to apply it to Easter. Brethren, there are many countries where to be centered on a Christian activity, as vague as it might be, is illegal. Where to just be a Christian means death. Somebody sent me a video that I couldn't even finish watching of Christians whose necks were being chopped off one by one and thrown into a pit. Next, lie down, a knife into the pit. Next, and you could see the individuals as life was getting oozing out of them. We don't have that. We don't. The greatest antidote to this same encroaching Islam is the gospel. It's not politics. It's not appealing to presidents. It's the work of the gospel, the work of evangelism. It is us making sure that we are sharing the good news, and we can only do it if we take the time and trouble to do so. And here we are in a nation where people are thinking about the cross. Non-believers. It's on the radio. It's everywhere. Are we ourselves seeing this as a God-given opportunity? Are we? Or are we going to go through this week as usual? Apart from, of course, going to the groceries for Easter eggs. That's the spiritual hypocrisy he's talking about. We know what to do in other areas, but when it comes to spiritual things, we fail. Let me say it again. Often, it's a sign of spiritual death. Often. And I want to appeal to you that if the kind of things I've listed out here haven't moved you yet, the answer is not to resolve that they might move you. The answer is to go to Christ and say to him, Lord, there is death in my soul. Save me. Save me. Open my eyes, Lord. Open my eyes. That out of a living relationship with you, I might be relevant in your world. And I might play my role to your glory for the extension of your kingdom. Lord, save me. Save me. Save me now. That's what's supposed to happen. Where has this found you? May you be discerning today and respond to this appropriately. Amen.